Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everyone here on this Palm Sunday. Thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some announcements. You take your red pad, sign them, pass them down. If there's any change of address or phone number or emails, you can also put that on the little I wish card and drop that in the offering plate. Make sure we get it quicker. Welcome Marianne Warch.
Mary Lynn.
Lorch, and thank her for being here today. Annual Easter brunch and egg hunt for Christian Ed will sponsor the annual brunch on Easter Sunday at 9:30 in the fellowship hall next door. Sweet rolls, bagels, coffee, juice. It's always a nice time to sit around and talk and get to know some people better. You can read the announcement about the Valley Gardeners. Donut Fellowship will be April the 3rd. It's also our lay Sunday, so Arlie and the worship committee are trying to get people to be a part of it, not just read the scripture, but do the prayers, do everything. I will be here, but other people will be doing the service, so it's always a very fun time. You can read about the food bank. The Women's Association is raffling off a cross stitch, quilt. On May 19th, so you can read about that. Per capita is $29.10, and we ask you to get that over and above, if possible, your tithes and offerings, because we don't get to keep that here. You can sign up for scripture readers. Also, as was announced in the Men of Mission last week, we're ordering from the missional committee the side of this, and getting new hymnals. These we've had for about 26 years. So Glory to God is a Presbyterian hymnal. So there's some little envelopes in the pews. You can fill those out and you can purchase them for $30 in memory of, in honor of, or in celebration of. And then there'll be a sticker put in the front of the hymnal. And you can buy one or you can buy 10, whatever you feel like that you would like to do. So you can start doing that at any time. I believe the choir has already gotten some, and we have a digital copy too we'll be able to put on the screen. So it's very exciting to be able to do this. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for this Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna, 174. Thank you. very special thank you to our children for waving the palms and saying Hosanna. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin.
Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your Son as the Messiah. We love him because he gave his life for ours. Forgive us when we have times of doubt. Help us when we feel discouraged. Remind us to tell others about Jesus. Give us courage to proclaim the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Excuse me. Now our worship continues. We bow our heads and close our eyes for our personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Of unity as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and let's greet one another. Visitors here, there's people, if you don't know their name, ask. Being here with the flute, and that's Mickey's friend from high school. So it's always nice to have someone else on a different musical instrument. Our responsive reading in the back of your red hymnals on 712 of Psalm 118, chosen specifically today to go with the sermon. It's 712, Psalm 118. I'll read one paragraph, then you read the next. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things.
I will not die, but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
At this time, I invite the elder and the daughter to come forth for the prayer and praise request. If you're not familiar with that, they're handed out over near the end, and you can fill them out each week.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with a praise request about the beautiful, beautiful snow that we have to welcome spring and Palm Sunday, giving us hope that spring will be here. Really hope. We have a couple prayer requests. A prayer request from Cindy Chatham. Cindy is asking for prayers for her daughter, Crystal Johnson. Crystal has a very rare blood disease. It's Wegener's granulomatosis, and she's really suffering with that, so Cindy's asking for prayers. And also asking for prayers for Mrs. Fawcett, who is suffering from cancer. And Suzanne and AJ are asking for prayers for Andrea, AJ's daughter, who is again in the hospital. So please keep all those people in prayer. Thank you.
I know a lot of you have silent requests, have not written anything or mentioned anything, but we ask the Lord to come into agreement with all of us for the prayer requests that we have. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very special day in the life of the church, Palm/Passion Sunday. As Jesus was coming to the end of his ministry, he knew he had to go to Jerusalem and present himself, and he did so. And the crowds cheered for him, and then later they turned away from him. Help us not to do the same thing, to cheer you one day and be glad that we're in a relationship with you and part of a church, and then just to walk away and say, life is not turning out exactly the way I wanted it, what I had expected. God must not love me. Let us remember today that God loves each and every one of us. But just as Jesus had trials and tribulations in his life, so shall we. So Lord, we bring all these prayer requests to you, to our Heavenly Father, through the name of Jesus Christ, who is our High Priest and our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for answering them according to your love and everything that you are, everything that you will be. Thank you for the promises made in Scripture. We know that we can trust them. And we thank you that as you had your ministry for about 3 years, you trained your disciples, and before you left, you gave them this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation will be a screen song, He is Exalted. Thank you. bow forward of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this day, because this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice within it, regardless of what is going on in our lives. And as pastor of Glenshaw Valley, I thank you for all the gifts that have been poured from heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit that have fallen upon your church. And the church is your people. And using these gifts, that people might hear the name of Jesus and believe. I thank you for everything that is done in your name, including the tithes and the offerings. May you bless each and every one. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
The scripture reader comes. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I had one of those nights. I fell asleep at 4 o'clock this morning. I couldn't sleep. Got up, watched a movie. Finally got to bed. Well, I was running a little late. The computer didn't want to set up right. Got me a little frustrated. So lost time around to my office and took off my coat and came back down. And while we were doing the service, you might have seen me slip out. I looked over here, and there was no sermon on the pulpit. So I go back upstairs. I grab the sermon, get all the way to the door. I open my sermon up, and look, it's the wrong sermon. So I have to go back up and just, you know, I'm saying this little prayer. Lord, please let me have it. I know I could preach to it without notes, but it's that comfort level. And thank the Lord it was there. So, and so life, that's the way life goes sometimes for all of us. But I want to thank the Missional Committee and Sue Galley. There's going to be an ad in the Shaler Journal. I think it comes out Thursday. It's a nice ad. I saw it, and tells the time of our service, and then we provide a nursery. So I'm partly telling you this just so you'll take the time to look, but it's also a great way to say to someone, did you see our ad in the Shaler Journal? And they might say, well, yes, I did, or no, I didn't. So we ought to look at it. Why don't you come on out for Easter service? It's a great way to ask somebody, and Easter and Christmas are the easiest times to get someone to come to church. Well, except when we're having food. And then we're so thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture this morning is from Luke 19, 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethany and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. This is the reading for today.
Thank you, BJ. It was April 1975, and Gary Dahl was in a bar listening to his friends complain about their pets. You know, much as we love our pets, sometimes it's a hassle to get up in the cold and go out in the snow, take a dog to use the restroom, or clean out a litter box or a fish tank. Whatever we have to do for our pets, as much as we love them. But this gave the idea to him for the perfect pet, a rock. Many of you remember those. Think about it. A rock would not need to be fed, walked, bathed, or groomed. Furthermore, pet rocks would not die, they would not become sick, they would never disobey you, would not eat things in your house, He said they would be perfect as pets, and he joked about this with his friends. But Dahl later took the idea of simply sharing with a few, rather than just sharing it with a few drinking buddies, he began selling ordinary gray stones that he bought at a builder's supply. These rocks were marketed like live pets in custom cardboard boxes with the holes in it and straw in the bottom so it'd be comfortable and the holes to allow them to breathe. He also put together an instruction manual for a pet rock, and it was full of puns and gags and plays on words, and the rest, they say, is history. Now, he died last year, but at that time, he had sold 1.5 million pet rocks, and he became a multi-millionaire. And when you hear something like this, a lot of our thoughts are, well, that's kind of stupid. Then, or our first thought is, why didn't I think of that? By the way, you can still buy a pet rock on Amazon that has a leash so you can walk your pet rock. I thought about pet rocks when I thought about our lesson for today, and I'll come back to it a little later. But St. Francis of Assisi is on a pilgrimage, and he's singing. Someone asks him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to God. And then they ask him, well, where are you coming from? He says, I'm coming from God. Then he asked him, well, why do you sing? He says, I sing to keep from losing my way. Reverend Michael Powell says, that's my image of Jesus as he is entering into the holy city of Jerusalem. The sun is out. The birds are singing. The children are laughing. The dogs are barking. It's a beautiful, beautiful day for a parade. Now, Jesus knows where he's coming from. He knows where he's going, and his eyes are firmly fixed on his heavenly Father. And I believe there's a song in his heart, he said. It's true that Jesus knows where he's coming from and where he's going, but he also knows there's going to be a lot of pain in between, just like you and I have a lot of pain in our lives. Jesus suffered real pain also, and he knew it was coming. Palm Sunday is really Jesus' coming out party. This is where he presents himself to the world as the Messiah, the anointed one, the ones that the Jews have been waiting for thousands of years and been prophesied in their Old Testament scriptures. And every once in a while, the opportunity comes along for us to present ourselves to others, whether it's through a casual introduction, maybe at a party, or a job interview, or it might be a first blind date. Jesus is about to present himself to the whole holy city of Jerusalem. And his goal is to present himself as the Messiah, the anointed one. Up until now, Jesus has been reluctant to make this mission official. Remember when I was in college studying theology in seminary, they kept talking about the messianic secret. And at first I didn't realize what that was, but that's what this is. Jesus said, don't tell that I've healed. Don't tell these things because my time has not yet come. But we think of how many times Jesus has said to people up to this point something like, don't tell anyone what I've done for you. Don't tell anyone who I am. Which is kind of unusual for us because we've done something great. We want to shout it to the world. But now is time. It's his time. God's time has come. The time of preparation is over, and the time of presentation is at hand. It's time for Jesus to reveal himself. We all know about preparation. You have a party at your house, and you spend time cleaning and getting everything just right, maybe putting out some new flowers or decorations. You get the food all laid out, and everything is so nice. And that's your preparation. And then the guests start arriving. And then the party can begin. And it's time for Jesus to reveal himself. You know, the reveal, also known as the big reveal, is what is used in a storyline. I was watching a TV show the other day. It was a 5-part, and they try to fool you, of course, so they want to hold your interest of who the murderer is in this one story. So they do all these different things, and they point you to all these different directions. And all of a sudden, something will happen in the show, and you say, aha, that's the guilty party. That's the one who did the murder. That's the one that they're going to catch and hopefully put in jail. That's where the narrative in the story is headed. Well, Palm Sunday is Jesus' big reveal. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. He's come up from Jericho as he approaches Bethpage and Bethany at a hill called the Mount of Olives. He sends two of his disciples ahead, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you're untying it, just say the Lord needs it. Jesus was clearly fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament, Zechariah. That the Messiah would ride on a donkey. That comes Zechariah chapter 9. But what is the significance of Jesus riding on a donkey? Why couldn't he just walk in or go in a carriage or ride on a nice horse? Why not do that? But all of Israel is waiting for the Messiah, who would be a political revolutionary. They expected the Messiah to come riding on a horse with his sword drawn, ready to lead his fellow Israelites into battle. They had somehow missed Zechariah's prophecy because they didn't want to believe that it could actually be someone like Jesus. In the days of Zechariah, when a king came riding on a horse, he was announcing his intention for war. Look at me, I'm on a nice, beautiful horse. I am somebody, and you had better bow down and just give up the city, or we will be at war. However, when the king came riding on the donkey, he was saying, I'm not coming from war. I'm coming to announce that I want peace. Peace. Peace with my enemies. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey. Was an announcement that he had come to usher in a kingdom of peace. Riding on a donkey was a prophetic declaration of his purpose and mission, but not just for that time, but for us today, for all of eternity. He came in peace, for peace, and to bring peace, a peace that without Christ, the world can never, ever know. The Bible talks about the peace that passes all understanding when you make Christ your Lord and Savior. Jesus had prepared all his life for this. It was a divine appointment, so much so that even the owners of the donkey responded agreeably to this and were simply told, the Lord has need of it. They didn't say, well, I don't know this, Lord. And if you're going to take it, you've got to put down a deposit bring it back and we'll check the donkey out. None of that kind of thing happened. When God has a plan and a purpose, nothing can stand in his way. If God says that his kingdom is coming, it's time for us to join in the preparation and the welcoming committee. E. Stanley Jones once told about a young man who was arrested for preaching the kingdom of God, which is happening all over the world today. He defended himself by declaring that he was only preaching what Jesus had preached long ago. And the prosecutor refuted his arguments by saying, but the kingdom, son, has not come yet. And the boy said, it has for me. And that's the way it ought to be. The kingdom, the message of hope, should already be a part of us, even though it has not come in its fullness. The Lord has need of it. That's all it took. And the disciples threw their cloaks on the donkey, making a saddle for Jesus to ride triumphantly into Jerusalem to begin the process of bringing his kingdom of peace to the world. Jesus advanced down the west side of the Mount of Olives towards the city and was welcomed by the crowd as their Messiah. They threw their cloaks on the road, forming kind of a red carpet, you will, him to ride his donkey over. And the crowd of believers began to joyfully praise God for all the miracles that he had done, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is a direct reference to Psalm 118, verse 26. Luke is the only gospel writer who uses the words peace and glory. The other writers, other gospel writers, use the word Hosanna, which Luke's Gentile or non-Jewish audience would not have understood. The gospel written to different people, that's why they're a little bit different. The fact that the crowds welcomed Jesus like this troubled the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and they told Jesus to rebuke his followers. Tell them to quit worshiping you. Tell them to quit cheering your name. Tell them to quit waving the palms and laying down their cloaks. We're not going to put up with this. But Jesus replied, I tell you, if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Imagine that. The stones are the rocks crying out, Hosanna, or peace, or Jesus. Imagine that. If the crowds kept silent, even the pet rocks, if they would have had them, would have started crying out at that time. Blessed are the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is telling them that nothing, nothing can stop this movement. It is going to happen. If the crowds were silenced, even inanimate objects like rocks would be raised up to testify that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for, actually praying for. And all of history was preparing for this one single event when he would declare himself as the King. Luke's narrative clearly paints the picture that this was a divinely orchestrated event. He takes us on a journey to help us understand that nothing can stop, nothing can even frustrate what God has already predestined or predetermined to happen in this world. Later in Revelation, chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus will be presented as the one riding on a horse. That is when the kingdom of God shall come in all of its fullness. A kingdom of peace and love where every tear will be wiped away and every wrong will be made right. But he will come in power this time, not in the humble way that he came before. And that kingdom will be particularly good news for those who are oppressed and those who suffer, those who are sick, those who are ill, those who are struggling through this life. Here's what Palm Sunday says to us. No one will be left out of God's kingdom, regardless of the challenges that they face in this life. When you take Jesus into your life, you're a Christian. You're going to make some mistakes. Every single one of us do. Every single one of us at times sin. Even as Christians, we do. It's just a part of life. But God says to us, see your King. He's riding on a donkey. And later when it comes to Revelation 6, you'll see him on a white horse. But for now, on this occasion, he's come riding on a donkey. The Messiah brings with him peace and humility. But here's what's even more beautiful. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, mentions palm branches again. And it's definitely about the crowds in Jerusalem, and it's about you and me today. We read, after this I looked, there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, worship God, saying, amen. Peace and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor. Power and strength to our God forever and forever. Amen. The beautiful thing, and I think the struggle is, that Jesus could see what lay ahead. He saw the cross. But then he saw beyond the cross to the resurrection. And then he saw to the ascension with his Father being seated in power on his right hand. Then he saw Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come and the church would be endued with power to preach the gospel and to spread his name. And to today, in 2016, as we are each gathered here in worship, that we would be here in worship to sing his praise and to pray. And then all the way to the end of time, when all the saints of God will be gathered around the throne to sing God's praise forever. He could see it, and it gave him strength, and it should give you and me the same kind of strength. If we believe, because the words are written for us to read, for us to believe, for us to have hope and faith. Because hope is what you cannot see. It's the substance of it, which you can't see, touch, feel, but it's in your heart and you believe that it's going to happen. And I tell you, if there are any pet rocks, they'll be singing and shouting and glorifying God. After all, Christ said on that first Palm Sunday as the people shouted out his praise, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones or the rocks will cry out. So let's make sure that you and I tell people about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ and what he has come into the world to do. Where he's at, he's not dead, he's alive. He's out of that grave, it's an empty tomb, and he's at the right hand of power of God. And let's make sure that we praise God every day of our lives, not just when we gather for an hour on Sunday. Hosanna. May God bless you. Amen. Our hymn of response, 173, O Glory, Lord, and Honor. Thank you. of course, want to welcome you to come Easter Sunday and the brunch before at 9:30 and service at 10:30. And if you can invite someone, that would be great. You don't know how it might change their lives. You just never know. And also, but you don't have to wait to Easter. We're having Maundy Thursday service, and we have a special type service where we transition into Good Friday. If you've never been to it, hope that you'll come out. Communion will be served, and you do not have to be a member of our church or even Presbyterian to receive communion. We just ask that you believe.
Did you prepare to leave the sanctuary today? Oh, that you felt peace and love and mercy and grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you feel it from members of this congregation and visitors. I hope that you go back into the world singing Hosanna, peace, and that you tell people that Jesus is the Messiah, that He has risen from the dead. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.